Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for being here in the house of God with the people of God. Lord, we don't take it lightly that we have the ability to be here physically, emotionally, spiritually. Lord, we thank you for your blessings each and every day, even the ones that we don't see and don't recognize. We thank you, Father. We pray now, Father, that your blessing to be upon these services, upon this house, each and every person that walks through the door. Let the love of God envelop them. Let them see you, Father, not us, but you, Father. I bind and rebuke every hindering spirit, every evil spirit. You do not belong in this house in the name of Jesus. And by the power of the blood, I command you to leave and not return in Jesus' precious name, by his power, his authority. Let this vessel, Lord Jesus, be your vessel. Words come forth that are yours and not mine. Thoughts be yours and not mine, Father. And the remainder of the services be a blessing to each and every person. Let you have control now. Father, let this word take root in our hearts and grow, that we may be the vessels of God, the men and women of God, children of God, called in authority and power to walk as the army of God at this time and this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the last few weeks, I don't know if you have noticed, but we have been teaching several things, but we've been talking about your identity in Christ Jesus, who you are. It started out as you're planted to be fruitful, that you are to bring forth fruit, that you are royal priests, that you are to be lively stones, you are a chosen generation. And today, I think God's going to let me end it with child of God. Child of God. And the title of the sermon, if you want to put a title to it, is this: Cry Abba, Child of God. Cry Abba, Child of God. And it's so much the enemy's trick to deceive you into who you truly are. Who you truly are. If he can deceive you into thinking that you are less than who you truly are, then part of his battle is already won. You are basically just a victim to what he wants you to be. But I want you to know today, child of God, you can cry Abba at any time. Now, crying Abba is not just when you're in trouble, not when you're in need. He is always there and present when we are, but it is a everyday relationship that you have with the Father through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through who the Lord and Savior, as the Bible calls him. Cry Abba. Every morning, get up and talk to Father. Talk to your Father, your spiritual Father, your heavenly Father. Talk to him. In the Bible, Abba, the word Abba is only used three times and only in the New Testament. And we're going to discuss that. But I want to talk about, I want to read the story of John 3. If you want to turn there, it's Nicodemus. It's a very well-known story or account in this man's life and how he struggled with the idea of a new birth. And you, as a child of God who's gone to Jesus, who've asked for forgiveness of sins, who's been covered under the blood, as we Pentecostals like to say, and you have been reborn anew. Anew. I know we still live in the same sin, sick, evil world, but you are anew. I know you still have strongholds and you still have struggles, but as a child of God, notice, child of God. Do you know what child means? It is someone that is ever growing and maturing. He didn't say my adult children. No. He said child of God for a reason. You are expected to grow and mature, and that takes failures and victories. That is a learning. It's a learning process. But let me know, don't think that just because you're a child that you don't walk in daddy's authority and daddy's power that was given to you through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Because you do. Because you do. My father is a known retired pastor in the town where I grew up, and I could walk around and use his name as much as I wanted. And they all know who he was because his life was a testimony to what he was and who he was. oh, there's Danny Daniels' daughter. There goes Danny Daniels' daughter. I walked into church one time and mentioned his name, and buddy, they shuffled me to the front of the church. I wasn't expecting that. But I realized then what the power of that name meant, Daddy's name. And that was just a natural experience. Imagine the greatness of being a child of God. What authority and power you have. So let's read about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler. And yet he's coming to Jesus at night. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that's a requirement, born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered him and said unto him, how can these things be? This well-educated Pharisee, ruler of many, understander of the law, which was, you know, what we had at that time, he still cannot grasp this idea because he's thinking in the naturals again. And Jesus said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell of you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended unto heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God, Son of Man, be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's a lot to take in, but I want to just talk about being born again. Being born again. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians 2. So when we come to Christ, we are covered by the blood. Our sins are forgiven. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. And it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. For grace, verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation came as the gift of God. Salvation came as a gift of God. It was Jesus dying on the cross. We were dead in our sins, but Christ died And together we are brought to life in Christ. Once we are, have our forgiveness of sins, we are brought to Christ and brought alive in Christ. Do you see that you have a new birth? You are being born again. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him," speaking of Christ, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born, you're given the right to become the children of God. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love that Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are called the sons of God. We have sonship and daughtership. We have relationship with Christ, with the Father through Christ. And, you know, and we've been studying the verse that says, you know, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, peculiar people, you know. Those that were not a people are now the people of God. We have been called into sonship. We are not only heirs with Christ Jesus, but heirs of God, but joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We are the children of God. Do you walk around and wake up every day with that thought in your head? I can tell you there are some days I wake up and that thought is the furthest thing from my mind. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to get out of bed, put one foot in front of the other, and get to work and try to be a nice person. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just, you know, hey, I'm just going to be honest with you. I live in a physical body. I may be a spiritual being, but I am still walking in this physical body until God takes me home and gives me the new one. I struggle with myself, all my emotions, all the things that went on through the day, all the things that didn't go on through the day. I got some news that yesterday that just blew me out of the water. Blew me out of the water. I was not happy about it. I had no control over it, but it didn't make me happy. And I'm sitting there crying and praying to God. I was like, what? Why? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm trying to have a temper tantrum. And God's teaching me to learn surrender. I am learning surrender every day. I have been in this walk most of my life. I'm still learning surrender. Not my will, but thine, Lord. Do you remember that? Learning surrender. There's a scripture in Proverbs, and it says, you know, son, give me your heart, and then you will see and live in my will. That's my version of it. I'll give you a scripture later. But it's the truth. I am still learning to surrender. I could throw a fit and maybe change things. Maybe not for the good, but I could have got my way. Maybe. But I sat there and I was learning surrender yesterday. And that was not a pretty thing. And the person held the information to the last minute to tell me, because they knew I would not be happy about it. So they waited till they were in the company of other people so that I can behave inappropriately. But anyway, so let's go on. I am learning surrender every day. And being a child of God, that is something that you do. That is something that you're going to learn. Let me tell you, as long as you're living in this body, child of God, you're still learning. You're still learning. You're still, just because I stand up here and talk to you, I am not perfection by any means. Not perfection by any means. And I'm not downplaying anything, but I just don't want you to think that you have to, you know, that put people on pedestals. You can't do that. They're just people. We're just people. We're just, whether we sing, we preach, we play an instrument, we are still susceptible to the enemy and to our own selves. So let's go on. Let's talk about Abba. Abba is used only 3 times, like I said, in the Bible, only in the New Testament. And the first thing that you read is in Mark. Mark records Christ in the garden before they come to get him, to take him to the cross, Mark 14:36, and it says, and he said, and this is Christ, speaking, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. In the lowest moment of his life, he's crying out to his father. You have that privilege in your darkest hours to cry to your father. But you ultimately have to realize sometimes his will is painful to you. But it always works to the good. It's a promise. It is a promise. It will work to the good. So I shut my mouth yesterday, and I sat there in tears, and I said, not my will, but thine be done. Did it make me happy? No. Did I have a pleasant 2 or 3 hours? No, because I wrestled with myself and my own desires. But I had the right to cry out, Abba, Daddy, you see your child. I need your comfort now. I need the ability to walk one foot in front of the other right now, to get up off my knees, and to do this with a smile on my face and in the right attitude, because I am called to be a child of God. You have the right to cry Abba all the time. There's only two other times in the New Testament that the word Abba is actually used, and Paul uses them both. Romans 8, let's turn there. Paul's writing to the Romans. And there's just so much in there that I can unpack this whole chapter. And I think I got carried away writing it out, 8 and 15. But it's so good, as is all of it. Let's start at 14. This is the first 14, 13 verses talk about the Spirit of God is within you. So once you have asked for forgiveness of sin, God's Spirit comes and dwells within you. He comes with all the fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, faithfulness. He comes with everything that you will ever need. Peter says that he gives you everything you need to live life and a godly life. To live and have a godly life. He gives you everything. Everything you need. So the Spirit of God is within you. And that is what makes you different from everyone else. Child of God. That's why people look at you and say, why are you so happy? What's so different about you? It's the Spirit of God living within you. It's nothing that you have done yourself. You can have the Sonya moment and be unhappy with what went on. And you're sitting there trying to swallow your pride and trying to swallow your anger and trying to swallow whatever it is, emotion that's coming up within you. And the only way you can do it is through the power of Jesus Christ. Through the blood. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's when you're supposed to speak out the words of God, which is your sword. It's your only weapon. And talk back to that thing, even if it's your own self, your own flesh. And put it in submission to the word of God. So, verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Did you hear that condition? Are you led by the Spirit? I had the choice to be led by my flesh. As in with every situation that goes against the grain, as we call it. You have a choice when things don't go your way. But if you're led by the Spirit, that's the moment you drop to your knees or wherever you're at. You get alone. You say, God, if this is your will, I'm going to need your help to get through it. Show me. And then you start taking authority over whatever issues come up in your life. But those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. This is why you see people claiming power, but they have none. Because they're not led by the Spirit. Timothy was warned about that. Those who claim but don't operate have nothing to do with Paul Tony. Let's go on. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Notice spirit is capitalized. That means Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Isn't that interesting? He's talking about suffering. But let's talk about heirs of God, Abba. Now, when you hear Abba, and they always put the explanation, that's why you see Abba, Father, together. It's an explanation. The Greek word, it denotes an intimate relationship between the giver of life and what he has created. He is protector. He is provider. He is even the disciplinarian. I mean, he takes it all together, and he does it in love. He just isn't love. I mean, does love. He is love. He helps you develop your sense of place in this world. A lot of us running around here, and we can't figure out, what am I supposed to be doing? Who am I supposed to? It's like, talk to God. Cry, Abba. Go to Abba. Talk to your daddy. Get in the Word. Look at the example that he set for you. I think it's so interesting. Abba is never mentioned in the Old Testament. He is God in the Old Testament. And he is God. He is God in every sense. And when they talk about Father, it's Father Abraham. But in the New Testament, we have an image of God who is love. Father. 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 And it's just wonderful when you think about that. It becomes more personal. He's not some God just on Mount Sinai, you know, causing storms and talking and everything shaking. Oh, he is all that as well. Have you ever seen him move mountains to get to you? I've seen him do the impossible for his one child. I've seen him. I've experienced it. I have lived it. This is why I can say without a doubt, he will move mountains to make it work for you, but it's in his timing. That's a lot of times where we lose it. We lose his timing. We get impatient, and it's in his way. There's a lot of things in my life I thought would work differently, and God didn't work them out that way. And I sit back and I think, if they had, how terrible it would have been. I wouldn't even be where I'm at now. I wouldn't even be where I'm supposed to be in his will. I keep wanting my will done. So you have received the Spirit of God. You're not to be in bondage again. Child of God, you have authority and power through Christ Jesus. What did he say in Matthew 28? All authority and power has been given to me of this earth and heaven. Now you go. In other words, I passed it on to you. Go. Go, do the will. Do the will of the Father. Paul in Romans is giving an understanding of the dwelling of the Spirit of God within them and what power and authority they operate in. So let's go on. Let's read the rest of it. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Sufferings of the present time. That's enduring now. Enduring now in this fallen world. Walking in faith. This is a daily thing. And some days it's minute by minute for me. I don't know about you all, but it's a redemptive suffering. That's why you're different. And every piece of the enemy, every devil, every demon, everything that he can, he's going to bring against you. Have you ever walked into the room and felt the suffocation? Have you felt it? I have. I walked into the room and I can feel the enemy. That's a scary thing for somebody who don't understand the power of God. But if you walk in his power and authority, that ain't nothing to you. It don't matter. So suffering of the present time is not only the worldly dealing with your enemy, but you're dealing with your own self. every day, your will. It says, let's go on. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You operate in freedom, child of God. You operate in freedom. Now this, again, is your choice. It's your choice. You want to operate in power? You want to operate in liberty? You got to operate in his will. You got a roadmap. You got a self-help book here, if you want to call it, whatever you want. But you've got to be led by the Spirit as well. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is why I preached several Wednesdays ago. Hope. You should be walking around looking like a billboard for hope. It's people in your life know where you come from, know what you have been through. What did you predict now? Are you speaking life? Are you still living in the death of the past? You have hope. They are drawn to you because you have hope. They don't even know anything about God yet. They just see something in you that they need. It's hope. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we shall pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Child of God, you have something within you that when you can't even understand what's going on, he's working it out. He is working it out. He's taking it to the Father. He's whispering it into your ear. And they're making the plans to get it together and work it for your good. Child of God, cry, Abba. Who are you crying to? Your mama, your daddy. I don't care. Even some of your pastors can't help you. You got to cry to the Father. You got to take it to somebody who has the power and authority to make a change. And then you got to wait for that change to happen. Walk as a child of God. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's the whole plan right there. Salvation. Do my will. Walk in my will. Be my child. Watch me glorify you. If you glorify me, that's a plan of salvation right there. It's all working out to your good. Predestined. We were predestined for the foundation, before the foundations of the world. He had this plan together. Ephesians 1, 3 and 12, I won't read all that because my time is short. But read it. And if you go on to the next chapter, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If it is God that justifies, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that dieth, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who has also maketh intercession for us. Who can separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Shall tribulation? shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Child of God, cry Abba. Cry Abba. Ain't nothing can separate you from his love but you. You can walk away. He ain't going to stop loving you, though. Nothing can separate you from his love. You can separate yourself from him. But I know that he pursues you. He pursues you. He pursues you. Look at your life when you walked away. I still saw God in everything. I look back now, I didn't see it because I was blinded. The enemy blinds you. But looking back now, I see where God was always with me. Always. Maybe this will be the day. Let me just cover her one more time. He doesn't want anybody to go and be eternally separated from him. He wants all to be saved. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither death, nor heights, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Child of God, nothing can separate you from him, from his love. Walk in the power and authority of a child of God. Yes, you're a child. You're maturing. You're getting growing. You're getting stronger. You're getting off the milk. You're getting into the meat of the word. But you're still a child of God, growing and maturing in this walk. I can tell you, you could look at these 80 and 90 year old saints, and they're still learning, and they'll tell you that. I am still learning. It's great when you're still learning, because once you stop, you're stagnant. You're not going anywhere. It's okay that you're just a child, but walk in the power and authority of your Father. Cry Abba, child of God. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for knowing who we are in you, that we are children, that you